it. Because you're a witness continually. Please, I hope you get what I'm saying. That's what I'm bringing out to us today. As a Christian, you're a witness when you don't realize you are witnessing. The last place where you're a real witness is when you go out preaching. I'm sorry to say. We think it's when we get out and we are out preaching. Knock at the door. Good morning. Oh, the Lord is coming soon. I hope you are getting ready for him. Ask yourself a simple question. Why should that fellow believe you? You're a stranger. You don't look like you know where you're going. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? I mean, where did I hear this joke recently? Of a man, a pastor who was driving around somewhere. He was driving up and down. And I stopped some young men. I said, please, how can I find, like today I went for a wedding in the morning. I spent 45 minutes driving up and I'm looking for the venue. So imagine I stop and tell them, please, I'm looking for this particular church. Or I'm going for a wedding there. Do you know the name of the place? Yes. Okay. So but the young man now described to the pastor. At the end of the day, now felt like witnessing to them. I heard a joke recently. So he stopped them and said, by the way, do you know how to get to heaven? Do you know that if you die, you have to choose whether you're going to hell or to heaven? Let me show you the way to heaven. And the young man said, we are not interested. The man said, why not? You don't want to go to heaven? He said, no, we want to go to heaven. But if you can't find your way to the venue on the earth where you are going, how can you show us the way to heaven? That's more difficult to find. So told him, young man, the pastor, sorry, we are very sorry, we are not interested. Thank you. We'll find somebody else that knows the way. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, the times we really witness for Christ Jesus, all right? A lot of those times we don't even know we are doing it. A friend of mine told us, he's a pastor today. When we were in university, I have this friend, still my bosom friend, Chooks. He lives in the US now. One day he was talking, he said it was because of Chooks and I that he went to fellowship. He dedicated his life to Christ. He was a Christian maybe in secondary school. And then became very serious. He's a pastor today, all right? And I said, why? He said, if I tell you this, it'll make you laugh. His reason. Not because of our righteousness, or because of what appeared like holiness, or like we are really going to heaven. He just said that these two boys are Christians, and they're always laughing. I'm not joking. He told me when he went in class. He said that he looked at Chooks and I, that so Christians can laugh. Because if you know my friend Chooks, he's a certified comedian. That so these people are actually serious Christians and they laugh like this. They are jovial like this because you are used to good morning.
Bless you, sir. Good morning.
Do you follow what I'm making? So he said that, you know, of course, that thing for a lot of people was so discouraging. Say, I give my life to Christ, I become like this guy. Forget. A lot of those things are very discouraging. You know, sometimes you have impressions of people when you don't even know them very well. My wife was afraid for a long time of marrying me. You know why? Because she just said, this is Pastor Banky. So he must be a holy Pastor Banky. You know what I'm saying? He must be one nice, righteous, holy, deeply spiritual brother. So she felt like, I married this guy. My life is going to be as dry as a broomstick. She thought about it too. Then one day, I came to Benin. I was in my friend's house. So she came there to look for me. And that my friend happens to be, you know, we play. You know, that, me and my guys and that's it. So I just said, hey, yo, Cash, what's up? All right? So I gave the guy a high five like this. She didn't say anything, She didn't say anything. Then she went and told her friend. He said, guess what? I saw him doing you, man. You know, you just see people from a distance. You just believe they are one way, like this. You just saw me. The guy did yo, man. So, well, he's not as bad as I thought, after all. She thought he would marry in the morning. Say, you're about to don't eat. The Lord said, we shall fast this morning. On your knees, everybody. Hey, Caleb, don't shut up. She discovered a man that when you say we are fasting, he will still eat breakfast. Are you not fasting? Say, who said I'm not fasting? Because I'm eating breakfast. Does that mean I'm not fasting? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So that, my friend, he said, why did I tell that story? That my friend's story. It's because, listen, as a matter of fact, God is spreading the aroma of himself through you. And most of the times that you are not even actively preaching to anybody, yet you are witnessing for Christ Jesus. That's why I told the story. I entered that place. I didn't know. If I didn't, until he pointed it out, I didn't remember I wore a perfume in the morning. I just went out normally. Oh, okay, please, I want to give something to somebody. And he just said, hi, I'm sure this is, and because he's an experienced person. He said, this is the only man here who does not know what he has brought into this place. As a matter of fact, I couldn't smell it. What am I saying? Most of the times we are truly spreading the aroma of Christ Jesus. We are not even aware that's what we are doing. Do you get the point? Listen, I've said it again and again. Christians, we don't fast. You know what I'm saying? If you go and listen to the message, the fasted life, you know what I'm talking about. Our fast is not a day. Our fast is a whole lifestyle. It's every day. The same manner our witnessing for Christ is not just that time that you get up, pray, fast, you know what I mean? Brush your hair very well, carry a Bible, and then go to go and witness. Listen, the number one place you witness, if you're a student, is amongst your classmates. If you're a worker, it's in your workplace. Whatever business you are doing, that's the first place you witness. And I said to you before, it is not about harassing people with posters and dry Christian music. No, I'm serious. Because you see, as a young man, I had experiences that, you know, you look at it, thank God I was a Christian. Some things just annoy you. I remember a particular tailor went to their shop to go and make clothes. When we were students, University of Benin, my friend I was telling you about, Chooks and I. This world is not my home. You know that kind of music? No, I don't mean as a joke. That's literally, God is my witness. That's what was in, they were playing. You enter the place, you see Jesus on the cross, Jesus in the grave, Jesus resurrecting, all kinds of photographs. Are you getting my point? Oh, you're welcome. Amen. God bless you. What do you want? We want trousers made like this. Like this, like this. Yes. We paid the money these brothers asked for. Except that the day we came to collect the trousers, it was the exact thing we said they should not do that they did. Two of them. I would love to have walked into a Muslim's shop if he would do what I said. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Please, let me tell you the truth. This is not a doctrine. What I want to say now, it's not a doctrine, but it's a challenge. When you get to your office, remove all those funny posters of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, don't make an image of it. So it's not necessary. Remove those pictures. I have my reason. Let people know you and trust you because of your character, not because of your poster. And please, don't use, believe it or not, I'm a child of God. It's a very stupid poster. People should believe you are a child of God. Why shouldn't they believe it or not? Is it because you are so crooked, so untrustworthy, you say believe it or not? Do you follow what I'm saying? Let people, no, listen. The aroma is not a photographic, you know what I'm saying? It's not the photograph on the wall. You can paint Jesus with a halo around his head or his neck, his legs, whatever. It doesn't mean, in fact, look, what I'm telling you is unfortunate. It shouldn't be like this, but that's the way it is. If I enter a business today, and what I see is Christian paraphernalia everywhere, I distrust them instantly. I have a feeling they're trying to take me off guard. They want to appeal to, you know, you just trust us. Your door, El Shaddai Incorporated. On the wall, Jesus as a baby. On the floor, photograph of him rising. Most of those things, pure idolatry. Now, please, I hope you're getting the balance of what I'm trying to explain. I'm not saying that those things are totally bad. You can, in fact, get to my house upstairs, there's a big painting of Last Supper. So I'm not saying they are bad, but I'm trying to say, listen, in your business district, tone them down small. Tone them down small. Listen. I know what I'm saying. Let your reputation speak for you. Your reputation with integrity. That's what I'm talking about. Honesty. Quality of service. I'm not just saying about quality of service as in your quality alone, but there's a way, listen, oh God, God help you to understand this. There's a way you will deal with a customer. He knows you are concerned about his needs, not about your profit. And that's the duty, all right, of a Christian businessman. You are there not to make money, but to bless people. It's just a principle of give and it shall be given unto you. That's what brings money to you. You're not there to make money. You are there to sow into people's lives. As you are giving into their lives, Jesus said, men will return to your bosom. Your price is what people return to your bosom for what you have given into their lives. What I'm explaining today, all right, two things. Number one, is that a Christian witness is a witness continually. It's a witness by his conduct. It's a witness by the kind of spirit, you know, we discussed that last time, that he has. He's a witness, listen to this, by his testimony. What do I mean by that? People talk with you every day. A woman will engage you in talk and your place of business about her home, about her family, about her children. There's a way you respond. Do you get my point? That without, listen to me, without you trying to preach, she knows. Let me tell you something about Joseph and Daniel. Joseph and Daniel were not known, first of all, for their faith. They were known for their spirit. What I mean is that when the men spoke, people had to turn to listen. Are you getting my point? So that was why Pharaoh and, Nebuchadnezzar's mother, his wife, all right? Okay? One of the queens, all right? In Babylon. That was why they used the word spirit of the gods. The literal Hebrew is the spirit of the gods, seeing that in you dwell the spirit of the gods. That's literal Hebrew. That is when the men will speak, people will know. I remember one day I finished teaching in class. One guy walked up to me and said, "Sir, are you a pastor?" I was still new in Enugu then. I said, "Why do you say so?" He said, "There's a way you talk." Are you getting my point? Listen. In your conversation, people should know. Let them tell you, I'm not trying to tell you to behave. You know, like, you know, like act. You get to work. Pastor Banky said, "Hey, we are witnesses all the time." So now when you get to work now, start behaving, you know, improperly. You are trying to be what you have not become. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm preaching to you that the first thing you should do, go home, become a witness. Then it comes out of you naturally. You can't counsel people with words you have not believed. Paul said we're comforted in our afflictions so that we, with the same comfort with which we're comforted, will comfort those who are similarly afflicted. That's what Paul said. That we went to afflictions, we know. That's why I tell you, listen, don't shout because of afflictions as a believer. You pray, imbibe the word of God, and get his comfort in the midst of that affliction. Because when he will bring you out of the affliction, all right? He said, "Don't forget the comfort I gave to you." Then he starts bringing people who are similarly afflicted your way. Then you start comforting them with the same comfort. He's not going to read a scripture and comfort somebody. That's not what he's saying. Have you been afflicted? Good. You have now become a high priest, you know? So that with the same power that God delivered you from your affliction, you talk to somebody else. Let me tell you something. I've learned it in recent times. Don't let, you know, there's something that Paul said. He said, as God gave each person what? Opportunity. And that's what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me just read it so I can get my words clearly. He said, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? He said, servants through whom you believe. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. That's if you have a new American standard, that's where the word opportunity is supplied. What am I going to say? Do you know, actually, God brings opportunities across our ways every day. You know, one of the things I've noticed, this one God has helped me to understand in the last 1 or 2 years, 3 or 4 years, actually, for some time. Let me give you a testimony. You know, my wife is a very good wife, amen? That's not a confession of hope, it's a confession of reality. You know, the confession of hope is good, amen? That's an expectation. Paul said, but if you have received it, it's no longer hope. You have already, you're, all right? Now, why did I say my wife is a very good wife? I'll tell you something. My wife always had a good spirit, amen? That is not flattery. That's the only reason we could have married. Now, let me tell you something. Let me, this is just by the way again. An antenna don't go up now. I can see the antenna all over the place. Just get to this side there. Hey! Someone is a pastor, come and do seven. I say, I know they do. You don't listen to this one I'm dropping here and there. Now, that's the reason why I could have married, all right? The kind of spirit. Now, spirit, that's why, listen to me. That's why you can't marry an unbeliever. You can't. Some people say some unbelievers are nice. And that's true. Are you getting my point? Except that if you don't have the spirit of God, there are things that niceness can't handle. Why is a believer better than an unbeliever? Because of the spirit of Christ. Why am I saying so? So that if the person is bad today, but having the spirit of Christ, the person keeps getting better and better and better and better. Your present day character, all right, is a reflection to a large extent of your past experiences and your past teaching. Do you get my point? But if you have the right spirit, you will get to a place where they will explain, assuming you have a wrong character, the word of God will come forth to you. Do you get my point? And then you will realize that this thing that I used to be is not right. Then you will subject yourself, open your heart to the Lord, then the Lord corrects you. Then you become something different from what you used to be. The problem with an unbeliever is that he doesn't get better on those premises. He tends to think he's good. And as you see him nice today, he's the nicest he'll probably ever be. And probably get worse. But somebody with the spirit of Christ may not be very good today. All right? But let that spirit, let it work. Put the person in the right places. You understand? Because you see, what if you read my book, Choices Key to Destiny, I explained it there. You can come from any background. Doesn't mean anything. Then God puts you at a particular point in places or in a place where you will not choose whether to continue in the trajectory that your background dictated or choose a new path for your life. That's when he starts judging you. So he told them in the Old Testament, the prophet said, look, I know all your daughters are harlots. He said, but I won't punish them. He said, do you know why? They are harlots just because their fathers are whoremongers and their mothers are harlots. So for your daughters, I won't touch them. I put the punishment on their parents. Who made these girls what they are? And I've explained to you before that when Jesus told the woman caught in the act of adultery, it wasn't a matter of mercy. Please, you must understand that. What I mean, like, okay, I just don't want to punish you. Just they go. No, it was a matter of understanding. After he meditated about her case, Bible says he does not judge after the sin of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but he judges with righteous judgment. So as he was writing, he was connecting with heaven and discerning the things about the woman. He just suddenly saw her background, saw the people around her, saw everything, and looked at all the men around. He said, look at them. Any one of you that have never committed adultery, throw the first stone. None of them could. He said, can you see? Can you see? She's an adulterer. She's a young woman. She's an adulterer because all of you are adulterers. After he proved it to them, he now said to her, now you have met a man who is not an adulterer. He has now talked to you, so go and sin no more. Are you getting my point? That's the issue of the word what? Spirit. That's what I'm going to explain. Now, where does that start from? Witnessing. Don't worry, I've not forgotten where I was. I just had to explain to you the matter of spirit. So, you can't marry an unbeliever. No matter how nice. Are you getting my point? See, that girl, she's very nice. Well brought up. The moment I saw her, I knew that, and they may not be Christians shy in that house, but all you need to do, see the way she dresses, the way she walks, is the morality around her society. When the evil spirit pounces on her, you go, no. Better go and marry somebody who you can say to the evil spirit, get behind me, and the spirit will jump out of the window. That's by the way. Now, what was I? I was talking about my wife and witnessing. Amen? So my wife always had a very good spirit, all right? But of course, she didn't know everything. Nobody knows everything. I did not know everything. So we used to have disagreement on a lot of things. It keeps reducing by the year, all right? Till now, we are still... I mean, if you don't disagree, one of you not decrease, all right? So I'm not saying you should start boxing and quarreling. That's just so. But disagreement is normal. But one thing I noticed, which is how I went into all of this, all right? Listen to this. Is that I noticed that this happened. Maybe I've not told her this, but now you're hearing it. One thing I noticed from time is that I can vex, so I can unvex, I can do anyone I like. But if I bother to say what I know is right, and I explain to her what I think is right to do, where we are disagreeing, what I think is right there, even if my wife doesn't say, she has that habit, I told her over years, please now, be telling me you have heard when you have heard. Because she will keep quiet. But I notice something. Almost all the time. All right? After a while, I will notice that she has taken that correction based upon that instruction I gave a few days ago. Do you get my point? I have not even reached a point that I've told myself I should be careful not to say things I don't mean. Because I sow a seed which germinates and bears fruit in her life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you follow my point? There's a reason why, you know, I'm talking about the word opportunity. Opportunity. All right? I just digress. You know, it's good. We digress once in a while. We have to learn many things. We come here every day, so we should be learning here and there. I'm explaining the word opportunity. Paul said, what is Paul? What is Apollos? Servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. That's what I'm trying to discuss. So there's something God helped my wife and I with. But there was a time I told her simply, if we have a disagreement on anything, whether I'm right or wrong, don't talk when I am talking my own talk. When I finish talking my own talk, tomorrow you can come and talk your own talk. Because you have to hear what I have to say. Now, I'm going somewhere here, all right? I'm going somewhere. I noticed that if I would just say the thing I'm supposed to say, this is not about arguing and persuading. Just say it. The way you know it's supposed to be, all right? Because of a good spirit. Now, let's talk about unbelievers now, all right, who are about to get converted. Because the Holy Spirit is about to get this person into the right frame of mind to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, bear that in mind. If you just say what is supposed to be said, you'll be amazed at the amount of results you will experience. Now, there's a problem I used to have. I've said it a number of times. My wife kept on correcting me about it. I've been corrected now, all right? Before, if you tell me, say, Pastor, as I did, so I won't go drink poison and die. I said, now, wow. And I will just be going. My wife said, why didn't you say anything? I said, he wants to commit suicide now. What's in concern? You want to stop him? You know? No, really. As God is my God. That was my attitude. I wasn't being wicked, though. So a man would tell me, say, look, I have decided, though, in this my life, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my father's house and sell it while my father is asleep. And then after that, I will invest the money in the stock market. Then I will put it in fixed deposit. Then I will do a pyramid scheme. Then I will make money. I said, now, wow. Then I'm going to buy a very big car. I said, okay, what you buy? Bring her me and see. That's all I would say. I'm going to look. Now, of course, never this bad. You understand my point? Never this bad. I'm just using these things to put pepper and okra, you know, just to make it nice to hear, all right? But people will say things like, in fact, I remember a friend of mine was just whining and whining, talking about his plans for life, and I disagree with every single one. I was just looking. My wife said, why didn't you say anything? I said, he didn't come to hear me say anything. He came to talk to himself in my hearing. So, waiting concern me. Now, listen to me. It is wrong. Amen? It is wrong. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. It is wrong. Do you get my point? What I did is not right. So what if you won't listen? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about today. It's called opportunity. Whether he listens or not, sow the seed and leave it to God. That's why all this my talk, that's where it's going. So if somebody comes to me today now, a pastor was in my house some time ago, and he and I were discussing. Every point I disagree with him on, I told him there. Because I have realized a lot of people, that's when they learn. Before I used to say, what's my business? And my reason was I felt they are not listening. Actually, that was my reason. It wasn't wickedness. I just felt that the guy is not going to listen anyway. But time has taught me, using my wife, number one, as an experience, as an example, and that is my experience with my wife, all right? As the first example, and many other people. There are times I'm talking, and somebody will not come and say, sir, you won't remember when you said this. One day, you were not even talking to me, but two of you were speaking, and I heard you say this. Since then, this is what I have been doing, and this is how my life has become. So I discovered that I have done a lot of people disservice by not telling them what I know is right. I've had people who I thought would never listen to me. They will be talking on and on and on and on and on. Then after a while, I can't take it anymore. I'll just use style to put stud in the flow of their thoughts and begin to say my own. And I noticed something. If I'm careful, well, not like if I'm careful. I really am careful not to appear as if I'm telling the man he's stupid. I'll just tell him what I think. Maybe like, if it were me, Shao, I wouldn't do it like that. This is what I would do. And so I'm not telling him, he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm just saying, if it were me, I wouldn't do what you are planning to do. Because I'm different from you, this is what I'm going to do. Because the word of God says this, because the word of God says this, because the word of God, and I notice, do you know, there's some example I have in mind. The fellow will become quiet and start listening. He'll become quiet and he'll start listening. And a lot of times, especially when they are believers like that, they are taking instructions from the word of God. Especially, listen to this, especially because indeed, I am anointed to teach. It's not only when I wear a suit and put on my tie and hold the microphone. Really. In fact, if time allows me, I'll get into that. So I have learned these days, if you start saying things I don't believe, or I think you are doing what is wrong, I will tell you, boom, to your face. The reason is because I realize that Paul said here, God gives opportunity. I don't want to miss my opportunity. We're talking about witnessing for Christ now. Let's get back to that, all right? I just as an example, because the examples I've given now mostly have to do with believers. But generally about life. When you get to your office, they start discussing this company, leave our boss. If it doesn't do what is right, we are going to close it down. And you know, foolishly, you think the normal thing to do, the aluta response is, yeah. No, don't do that. There's an instruction that the word of God has taught you. Tell the person nicely, if you close it down, who guarantees you get another job? Nicely explain to him that our boss may be having problems. Why don't you pray for him? This is my attitude about this thing. The man is doing this. Do you know what he's going through? You know, they will tell you that. They don't bribe you. Tell them it is not bribe. Don't say, I know that's what you say. No. Answer it. It's a question, is it not? They say they don't bribe you. The answer is no. Are you not one of them? The answer is no. But truth has entered me. And truth says. Do you get my point? I know that because I'm a Christian. And you know when my pastor is preaching, he says this. There's a book I read the other time. I remember the words of Paul to Timothy. And you're talking and you're talking. Listen to me. That's why I'm talking about the power of the Spirit. And I said I'll touch to this message. That when you've given your witness. You get my point? You have learned to prophesy your prophecy. Do you get my point? You have given an instruction of the word of God. It is not your job to persuade anybody to believe it. But you will have missed an opportunity if you don't share that testimony. You know, people gang up. They tell you, you know, this Sanusi man, he has an agenda to grab the nation. These banks for the north. One man that has never uttered it is this guy. Pastor Banker, are you saying he's not? I don't know. But I know one scripture. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The children of wicked souls have decided to gather out the banks, all right, and say, what shall they do? He said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. I know that scripture is in my mind, so I don't fight anybody over it. I look from another angle. I come from a different perspective. One thing you don't hear from my mouth is take a stand and start engaging in dividing the country, north, south, again, east, west. I don't do it. Why don't I do it? I'll tell you, simply because I don't believe it. And I believe in a power more powerful than all the arrangements men are making. And I let you know when we are talking. Do you get the point I'm making? What I'm emphasizing to this is, number one, a witness all the time. Number two, most importantly, do what you are supposed to do and the job of persuading people. Forget all this one. I want to count my converts so I can go to heaven and say, God, here are 17 people. Only I want. Is that English? What am I saying? 17 people I want to the Lord. Only me. That's why we do what we do. We go, we want to convert this man, and we harass this man. And of course, you know now, most of the time it doesn't work. Let me first debunk something. You can't count anybody when you are going to heaven. You can't. It's not your job. Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. So God is the one that will count. These are the people I saved. Between him and the Lord Jesus Christ, they take all the glory for salvation. Paul can't take one. Peter can convert 3,000 by his preaching in one day. That's his personal problem. He's not the Holy Ghost. Why didn't he do that conversion the day before the Holy Ghost arrived? If not so, you get power to convert people. Try and 2 days beforehand now. Therefore, you will have been the first martyr after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why did you do it on the day the Holy Ghost came? Was it not because you've now been endued with power? So it's not your strength. It's not your result. It's not your victory. It's the Lord's victory. So I'm telling believers, take your eyes away from that victory. It's not yours. What is your job? The sowing of what? Seeds. Number one, you are a witness continually. And not by acting, but by becoming. By taking your walk with God serious, by imbibing the word of God until God starts touching you and you start speaking out of what you are persuaded concerning. I told you some time ago, I don't know what I gave the testimony here. I went for a dinner, you know. Just went to eat, you know what I call dinner. Proper, one very nice hotel somewhere in Enugu Hill. Now we all gather, you know, brethren, just sitting down. I happened to sit in a circle, total of four of us. My wife was there, but I know why she was in my circle. You know, you can be in one place and face it in that direction, right? But there are this couple on the other side, and we're just chatting about life. Just chatting about life. Ah, as for me, oh, this is how I do things. We just chatted. I wasn't preaching. At the end, if I know that the woman, that's, you know, it's a couple, the woman just put her hand like this. I'm like, You see the thing? In fact, that's when I realized I had begun to preach. The word was entering. She was physically responding to the word. The husband was looking at me like this. At the end of the day, when the man said, okay, now, you know, we went for something. When the gist now began where we were, the man said, Pastor Banky, we must have this kind of discussion again. Next time he saw me, he said, Pastor Banky, when next are we sitting down like that? And as God is my witness, I wasn't preaching. Issues just came up. And I was explaining my perspective towards life. That's what Paul called what? Opportunity. You will go home. Your father will have problems. Why don't you offer to pray with him? Are you getting my point? When you go, your friend is in hospital. Sorry. Is this depending on you? Sorry. And then you walk away. You have missed an opportunity. Why don't you just say, all right, before I leave, let me pray for you. I hope you don't mind. If I say this, it surprise you. You one day, as you say, let me pray for you. As you begin to pray, God will heal somebody, even you will be surprised. Let me tell you something. I don't have time to get into it. I used to think that it's when you have the faith that God will heal the person. That is faith. Na lie. The faith you need is the faith to pray for the person. I pray you get what I'm saying. You think, I'm going to go there and say, right now, you will get up. Right now, as I'm laying my hands on you. Listen. You have watched too many preachers. That's your problem. You are not a preacher. Don't bother. You hear what I said? How many times do you instruct people and you buy a microphone? No, answer me. How many times when you talk to your friend, you go and buy, say, wait, I'm coming. You go and buy a microphone. Say, sit down. And the Lord has been saying to me, nothing like that. Leave that one for us preachers. We like to do theatrics. It's part of the job. Amen? In the same manner, when we want to pray for people, that's why we make noise. A lot of people, you know why they pray like that? They watch television and say, Papa Ayo, that's how he prays. You are not as tall as him. When you pray for him, you will fall down. What am I saying? What does God require, which he calls faith for you? Just get there and offer to pray. Do you get my point? You believe in God, don't you? Just, and your prayer shouldn't be, oh, thou God, greatest of all gods and none like thee. Thou, you know. Let me tell you how to pray some prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because sickness is not your, it's not our portion. It's not your will for us. And I'm asking you right now that in the name of Jesus, you touch this my friend that is sick. Sickness, I speak against you in Jesus' name. I speak health into his body. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 minute. If God's going to heal him, he will. If you like triple the length of prayer, it doesn't increase God's willingness. I told you before, Jesus didn't used to shout. The time he shouted at the tomb of Lazarus was told to so everybody could hear. And he told God that that's why I'm shouting, don't be angry. He said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. In fact, I know you have heard me. I'm only saying it because of these men who are present, that they will believe that you sent me. Hey, Lazarus, comfort. Normally, he would have said, Peter, I'm coming. Last. I'm telling you, that's the normal thing. They came, he said, have mercy on us. He said, go and show yourself to the priest and continue walking. Everyone who agreed to go and show himself to the priest got healed of the 10 lepers. Do you get my point? So it's not about, no. Nicely do what is your portion. When God gives you the opportunity, speak that which you believe. If you get somewhere, people are troubled, pray for them. Oh, my Father, I hope you will understand. Pray for them. Don't be saying, what if? There's no what if. Your job is what? Pray. Paul prayed. Apollos said, amen. God did the healing. Is that not what the Bible says? Have you gotten my point? That's why what I mean when I said the power of the Spirit. Let's allow God to do his own by agreeing first to do our own. What is our own? Let our lives reflect what we really believe. When God gives us the opportunity, do you get my point? Let us share our testimony. Let's live in such a manner that we will reflect exactly what we are saying. Then God will give the increase. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you have gotten my point. A witness is a witness continually, not when he makes up his mind to begin to witness. When you wake up in the morning, your waking is a witness.